Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of how to deal with sorrow as part of a larger discussion we're having about how to deal with our emotions so that we can walk in victory in this life. To walk in victory in this life, you've got to learn how to deal with your feelings. Our feelings often contradict what God says. And we need to learn how to side in with what God says over and above what we feel. Now, specifically, we're looking at sorrow. We began last week talking about it, and we're continuing this week. Sorrow is sadness or anguish due to loss. When we lose someone or something dear to us, we feel the emotions stimulated by that loss. We feel sorrow, grief, a sense of mourning. All of us experience sorrow in this life because of the nature of this earth. This earth has been corrupted by sin, beginning with Adam, and loss, sorrow, is part of life. We've made the point we have to learn to deal with sorrow through rejoicing in hope. That's not an emotional response to your situation. You don't pretend to feel good when you feel bad. You learn to encourage yourself. That's really what it means to rejoice. And we're going to talk about this in more detail this week. You learn to encourage yourself with the reasons you have for hope. We serve the God of hope. So for a Christian, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. All loss is temporary. All missed opportunities are simply postponed opportunities. There's more to life than just this life. We're eternal beings, and the greater part of our existence is in the life to come. And in the life to come, there will be union, reunion, restoration, and recompense. Yes, God does have some restoration and recompense in this life, but the ultimate stage for the complete reunion, restoration, and recompense of the losses of this life are in the life to come. But if you learn to see reality that way, this loss, as painful as it is temporary, and by God's grace I'll make it through, and I have the hope of one day being reunited with the one I've lost. It'll help you get through. Now, let's go on. Let's add some new information. One of the themes that we see in the scripture is the idea that the Redeemer will turn sorrow and mourning into joy. I could read you numerous verses, but that's a theme. Let me just give you a couple of verses. This is Psalm 30. Let me read a few verses. Verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Now note, there's that theme. Yes, there is weeping for a time, but joy comes. Now I'm dropping down to verse 11 and 12. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth." Sackcloth was a rough garment that they wore in times of mourning in Bible days as an expression of their grief. The writer here, the psalmist, this is actually a psalm of David. David says, "You've given me joy because I've put off my mourning clothes and you've girded me with gladness. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory or my tongue may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." I could read you a lot more verses, but I'm sure you're thinking of some. You see that idea of sorrow turned to joy, mourning turned to dancing. Why? Because sorrow due to loss is part of the curse that's in the earth, and the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to reverse the curse. That's part of our hope. It's not always going to be like it is right now. You're not always going to feel like you do right now. I've gotten through some of the biggest times of grief in my life by reminding myself of that. I feel like I can't live But I remind myself, I'm not always going to feel like this. The pain of the loss does lessen. This is part of our hope. I'm not always going to feel like I feel right now. None of this is bigger than God, and He will get me through until He gets me out. And there is a great day of reunion and restoration ahead for me and my loved ones. I shared last week, I have a number of dear family and friends in heaven. I'm old enough now that I've lost a fair number of people. And initially, in the throes of that first grief of the loss, the fact that they were in heaven didn't really comfort me because that was the problem. They had gone to heaven and I wanted them back here. I don't care if they don't want to come. But as time passed, that gut-wrenching grief subsided. I adjusted to life without them. And over a period of months and years, I'm to the point now I wouldn't bring them back if I could. I'm looking ahead. I can't wait to go to be with them for that reunion and that restoration. And then all of us come back to earth to be reunited with our physical bodies at the resurrection of the dead to live on this earth. But see, the point is not get over it. The point is go through the loss with the knowledge that all loss is temporary. Go through the loss with the knowledge that the ultimate stage for the reversals of life's sorrows and troubles is in the life to come, but it will happen. And go through it with the knowledge that you will feel better. Now, let me read. This is a famous passage of scripture, Isaiah 61. This was a prophecy about the coming Redeemer. And Jesus, at the beginning of his public ministry, applied this powerful scripture to himself. You may recall, I'm not going to read it in the interest of time, but in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus completed his temptations in the wilderness, his testing in the wilderness, when the devil tempted him, he came back to Nazareth, where he grew up, and he went into the synagogue and took the scroll of Isaiah and opened it to this passage that I'm about to read. And he said to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ear." Let me read it. You'll recognize it as soon as I start reading. This is Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness." Now, tons of stuff in there we're not going to address, but Jesus, this is the passage he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what I'm about to do." He closed the scroll and he said to his audience, "This scripture is fulfilled today because I'm here to do what this says." And you'll notice some key verses. "I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to comfort those who mourn. I've come to those who mourn to give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I didn't count it up, but what is that? Three or four references to undoing the sorrow and the mourning that comes from loss. Now, let's notice these points. This is a powerful scripture about the Redeemer turning mourning into joy. Jesus came to do this. Verse 1, he says, "The Redeemer will bind up the brokenhearted." To bind, the word bind used to describe, this word bind was used to describe binding a wound so that healing would occur. That's the first thought. I'm going to do something so that healing will occur now. There is help now. I'm emphasizing the hope we have in the life to come, but that doesn't mitigate or lessen the hope we have in this life. There is help now. He heals the brokenhearted. Although our hearts are broken due to the loss we've experienced, they can be healed. You can and you will feel better as time passes if you'll learn how to feed your hope. And we'll discuss that in more detail as the week moves on. Notice verse 2. Jesus said the Redeemer, Isaiah said the Redeemer will comfort those who mourn. That word comfort there has the idea of to sigh or to breathe strongly. It has the idea of to be sorry. What's the point? Well, God is aware of the hurt and the pain that we experience in this life, and He's moved by it. He's moved with compassion. There's something in God that longs to help those who are suffering. You need to know that. God knows what you're dealing with. He knows how you feel, and He longs to help you. There's help in this life, and there's help in the life to come. Let me read. This is Psalm 56, verse 8. This is so awesome. David wrote this when he was being pursued by Saul, who was trying to kill him. And David had to leave his home, the city of Jerusalem that he loved. He's hiding out. It was a horrific time for him. He says to God, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." See, that was David's view of reality. He was well aware that God knew the suffering he was experiencing, that God, "You collect all my tears in a bottle." What does that mean? God takes note of every tear of sorrow that you cry. God has it all recorded in His book. He's well aware of what needs to be fixed and restored. Nothing is forgotten. Some is fixed in this life. The rest will be fixed in the life to come. He's going to make all things right. You need to encourage yourself with that information. See, that's reality as it truly is. God knows, God knows, God knows. Comfort means, it says, He comforts those who mourn. To comfort means to ease the grief or trouble by giving strength and hope. That's present help. God is aware of your sorrow, and He's got joy for you. He's got comfort for you to ease the grief. Verse 3 says, God gives joy for mourning. What could possibly turn mourning into joy when you're feeling the grief of loss? Well, obviously, reunion with your loved one would do it. Our restoration of what was lost would do it. But what does that mean right now in this life? The people I love who are in heaven, I'm not going to be reunited with them in this life. That's the way it is. So is there no joy for me? Can my mourning be turned into joy? Can yours be turned into joy? What does that mean in this life? In the life to come, it means reunion with them. But what does it mean right now? I want to spend the rest of this week talking about the joy that God has for us in this life to help us with sorrow. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.